Man, how many of you are thankful for Jesus? You may be seated. And I know, sometimes, man, God just really touches your heart. And I guess tonight, my heart's definitely been touched because I think about everything that was ever said. And there's a common theme in these messages that we've been delivering. And that theme is that there was always something said about somebody. But it was only true because what was said is what was seen with human eyes. And the great news of the gospel, the hope that we have, is I am not what everybody else says. And you are not what everybody else says because they're seen with human eyes. But God sees us in a whole different way. And following in line with that, as we talk about the name of Jesus, following in line with that, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel 16 and the anointing of David as the new king. But tonight I wanted to focus a little bit on what happened before that. If you remember, the people chose a king, and the king they chose was Saul. And one of the outstanding characteristics of Saul, we shared this, we talked about this just about a month ago, it was what? He was tall. And there was Saul. And so he was the people's choice, and he was Saul the tall. But anyway, so there's Saul, and the people choose him. And the people say, man, we want a king. And all this started, Israel never had a king. But the people said, all the other nations, they have kings, and we want a king. And the prophet of God told them, anybody remember who the prophet is at this moment? Samuel is the prophet. And if you know much about Samuel's life, he was basically dropped off at the temple as a baby, basically. And it became the responsibility of Eli, who was the high priest, to raise Samuel. And if you know much about the history, I shared this Sunday in a Bible study class, if you know much about the history, Eli's great accomplishment, maybe his greatest achievement in being high priest, was raising Samuel, who wasn't his son. And what an incredible job as Eli taught Samuel to hear the voice of God. And Eli taught Samuel how to understand the voice of God. But if you know much about Eli, the great disappointment of his life were his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And whatever he poured into Samuel, he certainly didn't pour into his own sons. And one of Israel's lowest moments come on the heels of decisions that Hophni and Phinehas had made. But here we are, and we have Samuel. And he anointed Saul as king, just as God told him. Because you know what God told the people? If you want a king, I'll give you a king. Have you ever got something that after you got it, you realized you didn't want it? Now don't point to people. I heard a pastor was preaching, and he was using the phrase. He was telling people, I don't want you to get discouraged. You know, I don't want us to always be focusing on the positive, and I want us all to say together, it could be worse. He said, that's a great way to look at life. You know, you don't like your job, but you tell yourself, it could be worse. You don't like the car you're driving, but guess what? And you wake up in the morning, you look at the person beside you, and you think, it could be worse. So I heard a preacher say that, so I totally stole that. And here we are at this moment in history, and I don't know that it could get much worse. Because the prophet told the people what would happen if they got a king, but they still wanted one. And they got a king, and he lived down to everything that God said that this king would be. And the hallmark of Saul's kingship, I want you to hear this. The hallmark of Saul's kingship was disobedience to God. And when God would tell Saul to do something, he wouldn't do it. Or maybe he'd do part of it. Have you ever done part of what God told you and thought you ought to get credit for all of it? And that's what happened. Saul was supposed to go and annihilate an entire people because they had tried to annihilate the people of God. And so Saul goes and he does that, except he spares the king. He was supposed to get rid of all the animals, and he kept the best of the animals. And the prophet confronts him. He said, hey, why weren't you obedient to God? And actually, the story, as it really goes, is as the prophet came up, Saul runs up and says, hey, I carried out God's mission.
And right there was kind of a sign that something was wrong. And the prophet says, you didn't carry out God's mission. You spared the king. You took all the best of the animals. As a matter of fact, the prophet said, why do I hear sheep bleating? Not like bleeding, but batting. You know, are you with me? No? Okay, never mind. It's just a noise that a sheep makes. And he says, why do I hear the cows mooing? And he said, the evidence is all around that you didn't do what God wanted you to do. And he says, this day, God has taken his hand off you. He has removed you as king. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. And there he has set up a monument in his own honor. Saul made a monument in his own honor. I want to tell you tonight, don't take credit for what God has given you. Don't take credit for what God has given you. And honestly, if I can just be really honest, I think we in the church struggle with that more than any other people. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. That means everything that you have is a gift from God, and we can't boast about it. And somebody might, that's God calling right now, to say, don't do that. But we might get prideful. We might say, well, now I've really done this, or I've really accomplished this. Don't forget that it was God. Saul forgot. And the people were so excited. And listen, it was the people pressing Saul to disobey God. And they didn't say it that way. Is everybody with me? I mean, nobody comes up and says, hey, I'd like you to disobey God. Nobody says that. What people come up and say is, hey, why don't you do this with us? Or why don't you do this for us? And don't worry about consequences. Don't worry about the boundaries. Don't worry about God. Just do this thing. And that's exactly the kind of pressure that Saul came under as king. And here's the deal, though. If you know much about kingship, about monarchy, he's the king. He's not supposed to be pressured by the people. It's not a democracy. There's not going to be a vote in 4 years for a new king. It doesn't happen that way. God appoints kings. People don't. And make no mistake, Saul was anointed by God to be king. The people didn't anoint Saul. They couldn't. They wanted Saul, and God allowed them to have Saul. God allowed them to have what they weren't going to want very soon. Don't take credit for what God has given you. So Samuel goes to find Saul, and they tell him he's gone to Carmel. And there he's erected a monument for his own honor. For his own honor, Saul has done this. And it was God that gave every victory. It was God that expanded the borders of their land every time. It was God that did that. It wasn't Saul, but Saul started taking credit for it. Now listen, let me give some examples. Because I've met people who feel like they have a great biblical knowledge. They know a lot about the Bible. And they take pride in knowing a lot about the Bible. And if you take pride in knowing a lot about the Bible, it tells me you haven't read it much. Or you only are familiar with the parts that you want to be familiar with. Only God can give you understanding of what the Bible says. People all the time will call and say, I'm just having trouble understanding the Bible. What should I do? And I always say, keep reading it and pray and ask God to give you understanding. And he will. Every time he will. Now, here's the trick. He'll give you understanding in his time. Sometimes you're not going to understand what God has showed you until you reach that point where you need that. Do you understand that? And so when things are going great, you've read something, you don't understand it, you want to understand it, you can't understand it, but you keep reading, you keep praying, and finally you come to a point, it may be a moment of crisis, and then you have understanding, because it's then that you need it. And so we don't always understand, but we keep reading and we keep praying for that understanding, and in God's time, it will come. So if you have a great biblical knowledge, God has allowed you to have that. Maybe you serve in 107 ministries. And you take pride in that. Now I can tell you, if you serve in 107 ministries, I can tell you, you're being unfaithful somewhere that God wants you to be faithful.
In our particular situation, I met my wife on the mission field. And we were working at these youth camps all summer and have hundreds of kids every week coming to camp. And that's how we met. And she loved to do ministry. And I loved to watch her do ministry. You with me? And so it was that summer that, you know, I just realized that that she was wanted to marry me no matter what. So that's a joke. Okay. And so we met under those circumstances. And so we get married, and I'm a youth pastor at a church, and she's highly involved in everything that goes on in the church. She's in women's Bible study. She's, you know, she's helping out with the student ministry. She's doing all these things. And then these four things happened to us that changed how she would participate in our local church ministry. Now, I tell you what changed is God gave her four other ministries that were to take priority over all the other ministries, because it was a personal ministry called Samuel. Not the prophet, just Samuel. Sam the kid that we're going to beat. No, I'm just kidding. Sam and Will and Molly and Allie, and it changed a lot of things. And this has been a tough season for my wife, because she wants to serve. She wants to be more involved. But right now, that's where she's at. And you know what? She can't even take pride in that to say, well, I'm raising these four kids, and I'm going to take pride in that. Because that is from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if we read about Saul, and I leave it at that, some of us might just say, well, that's Saul, man, he was a bad guy. But all of us are guilty of that. All of us have done that at some point, taking credit for something that God has given us. But it's all from God. And if you understand that, if you understand that it's all from God, it is hard to create your own honor in that circumstance. But that's exactly what Saul does. And this really, for Saul, it was the straw that broke the camel's back, to say it that way. This was it. And he'd been disobedient several times. And finally, God tells the prophet, I'm done with Saul. Now, listen to me, because some of you might say, well, Jamie, last week you said God's never done. He wasn't done loving Saul. But in that appointment, in that position that he had raised Saul up to, it was over for Saul. You know why? Because he couldn't be faithful with what God had entrusted to him. I'm really fighting some of my passion tonight for clarity, but I want you to really understand that. All Saul had to be in that moment was faithful. Listen, he didn't have to be victorious. He didn't have to be victorious, but he had to be faithful. Listen, he didn't have to be effective. Did you hear that? He just had to be faithful. Now, what typically happens when you're faithful? Typically, when you're faithful, there's victory. Typically, when you're faithful, there's effectiveness. But he wasn't focusing on the attribute of faithfulness. He was focusing on the others, and he missed what God had. And God says, I'm done. Samuel says, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? And Saul answered, The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. He was disobedient. And when he was called on the carpet, have you ever been called on the carpet? Has anybody ever questioned you in a right way? And Samuel says, what is all this? And what is Saul's response? It was the soldiers. The soldiers did that. And he had an excuse. Now, I want to plead with you tonight, because some of you tonight may find yourself right in the same position as Saul. And maybe tonight, maybe the worship and the message, maybe it will serve tonight as a way to call you onto the carpet to say, hey, what's going on with all of this? Don't blame it on the soldiers. Don't blame it on anybody else. Nobody can make you be disobedient. Nobody can make you be disobedient. That is always my choice. That is always your choice. I choose to be obedient or I choose to be disobedient. That doesn't mean that there aren't things around us, temptations or pressures. It doesn't mean that. I talked to a guy about a month ago, and this guy had an affair. And one of the questions he asked me when he came to see me, and I was kind of talking about all this kind of stuff, he goes, well, I really didn't come for all of that. I just came because I want to know something. I said, what? He goes, well, I've tried to explain to my wife that I've got a problem. That I just like other women. I'm wondering if there's a doctor I can see or something I can do. I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, when I'm feeling those temptations, you know, what is something I can do? And I'm like, take a shower. A cold one. A very cold one. And I said, here's the deal. You're going to have desires and temptations, but it is your choice as to whether or not you'll fulfill those temptations and those desires. Don't make excuses. And I don't say that in an accusatory way, because I have been one who's made excuses. Well, God, there's a reason. God, you see, now God, let me show you the whole picture, God, because you must not be seeing it. Let me explain to you, God, it's really tough for me. You know, I've told you all before that I just am curious what heaven will be like, you know. And when you get there, and there are some of the great martyrs of the faith. And, you know, there's Stephen, who was stoned to death. And there's Peter, who was crucified upside down. And I always have this crazy picture. Please, this is not what the Bible says. I'm just telling you a thought I have. That God breaks us up into small groups. Gets us in little circles and says, hey, why don't you get together and talk about, you know, being a Christian. And in my little circle, there's Stephen and Peter. And I'm like saying, guys, you guys don't understand. It was really hard to be Christian, you know, back there in the 80s. You know, because I had a mullet and I was cool and all that stuff. But had my parachute pants on. Anybody remember parachute pants? We couldn't afford them, so I got them like 10 years after they were out of style. But you better believe I wore them. And people said, what are those? I'm like, none of your business. And me trying to explain to Stephen and Paul, or Peter, it was really hard to be a Christian when I was alive. There was a lot of pressure out there. There was a lot of stuff. You know, we had the internet. I mean, that's tough. And then for Stephen to say, yeah, I was stoned to death. And Peter says, yeah, I was crucified upside down. I'm like, wow, that's pretty tough too. You know, you got to have that picture. But here we are. And I can't make excuses. I can't justify the disobedience in my life. You know why? There's no excuse for it. Remember last week we talked about that there's obedience. And what else was there? It was a very impacting sermon, wasn't it? I can tell. There's repentance. And so in my life, when there's disobedience, it's to reap repentance. And that I can come to God. Now remember, there's a common theme running through here. And I want to give you this background on Saul, because that part of the story is so rich with truth. I want to share this with you. And Saul had left the battle and had made a monument in his honor. He made excuses for his disobedience. And it was very evident in this moment that his heart was far from God. Have you ever been at that place when your heart is far from God? Been in that place where you wonder if God hears your prayers, if he's still willing to listen to you pray? You ever feel like you pray the same stuff all the time? Any, just three of us? Anybody else? You ever feel like you're just praying the same stuff all the time and just, you know, waiting? I'm out and having time for it. God, just help me lose weight today. You know, I'm eating the Swiss cake roll. God, just help me today to lose weight. You know, God, put a fat-burning ingredient in this Swiss cake roll, God. And if you'll bless this Swiss cake roll to anoint me to get skinny, God, I'll eat boxes of them. To which I can hear God say, you're already eating boxes of them. But you ever feel like you're just praying the same stuff all the time? You know, so I one of the things I like to do on Wednesday night, I go back in the back and I just kneel down and I pray for the message. And sometimes it's hard because I feel like so many times the first thing I have to pray, because I'm getting ready to pray, God, just move tonight. And God, may the sermon just be powerful. May the worship just be incredible. But I can't get past it. The first thing I should pray is, God, forgive me for my unfaithfulness. And I don't like to start off a prayer like that before I'm getting ready to preach. It makes it hard to come out and preach. And I'm like, God, I don't want to focus on my unfaithfulness right now. I just want you to move. I just want you to do something incredible. And yet what God is showing me is, Jamie, I need you to be faithful. I need you to be faithful.
And Saul comes to this moment, and he's been found unfaithful. He's removed from his position. Finally, Samuel replies, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings?" One of the excuses Saul made is that they took all those animals because they're going to make them burnt offerings to God. Now, how does that sound? I know, God, you told us not to take the animals, but we're going to take them and make them a burnt offering to you. I mean, what does that sound like? It's an excuse. I'm trying to make disobedience holy. Have you ever tried to make disobedience holy? Like something, you know there's something in your life, it doesn't need to be there, but somehow you try to spin it, you know, so that it'll be a holy thing. You know, so yeah, God, you told me not to take the animals, but they're going to be burnt offerings to you, so you can trust me with this. And Samuel says, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice." To obey is better than sacrifice. I try to read my Bible every day. I hope that you try to do that. And sometimes, if it's crazy week, I'm like, Lord, I'm going to read half the Old Testament Saturday. And that'll be a sacrifice, God. And then this verse comes to my mind. But to obey is better than sacrifice. Have you ever realized you can't cram God in? Like, you ever try to cram for a test and study, you know, like the night before, just extra hard? I mean, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. It's not meant to work that way. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions." And he says, "I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them." I wonder how many of us tonight, maybe part of our circumstance or part of our situation is we were afraid of the people. And so we gave in to them. And we did what they wanted us to do. And that's exactly what Saul says. Now, all the people wanted this. And I felt all kinds of pressure because I'm the king, I'm the leader, I'm the guy that's got to make the decision. And so I gave in to them. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he is not a man that he should change his mind." The glory of Israel. I mean, how many times do you hear the Israel story and you hear how God led them out of captivity and you read all the about the wanderings in the desert? The manna, the cloud, and the pillar of fire. And we read all of that. But I want you to know, this story is not focused on Saul. It's not focused on his disobedience. This is a story about the glory of Israel, God Himself. And it's a poignant story for us today because I believe every one of you have been created for a purpose. Every one of you. And your life is supposed to be making impact for the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, at the end of your life, it's the impact you made for the kingdom that will be the only things that matter. And so here we are in this moment of time. I wonder if you feel like you'd be found faithful right now. Or if you feel like you've been unfaithful. And this is a story of the glory of Israel. And I wonder about the glory of your life. You see, God's not the glory of Israel because he led them out of captivity. Because I think a great argument can be made that God led them into captivity. He's the glory of Israel because he's God. And he is worthy. And just as we were singing, that his name, it is the name that's above all names. And that he is everlasting. And somehow, the challenge for me tonight is to really grasp and understand in my own life that it all comes down to Him. It doesn't all come down to me. It all comes down to Him. And I have to wrestle with that it's the impact that I make for the kingdom of God. And why could I make impact? Because of Him. And if I make any impact, it's because of Him. And so I can't boast in that. And I can't take credit in that. But I just know this, that God is willing to use people to make an impact for the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you this, He's willing to use anybody. He is willing to use anybody. And we're running close on time, so let me just tell the story. And so God tells Samuel, I want you to go to the house of Jesse, and at the house of Jesse, you will find the next king. And it's very interesting, because Samuel's worried about going, because he's afraid that they might think that he's come to battle. And so he goes, and they ask, do you come in peace? And he says, I do. And he says, I'm here for a special reason. And he uses these words, so I want all of you to consecrate yourself. And the Bible says that Samuel consecrated Jesse and his sons. And to consecrate means just to set apart for a holy purpose, for a holy reason. And he sets them all apart. And he consecrates them, believing that one of them is the king. And so it is a preemptive thing that the prophet does to figure out who the king is. And as you guys already know, probably, it was none of those sons. So much so that Samuel says, you know, because when he sees the first son, he gets all excited because he's tall, just like Saul, right? And he gets all excited. He's thinking, this has got to be the guy. And then God speaks an incredible word to him. And it is an incredible word for me and you today. He says this, do not look at the outward appearance. That's what man looks at. But I, God, look at the heart. And so this incredible truth surfaces that as followers of Jesus, we can no longer base our opinions on the appearance of people. But we have to look past that into their heart. We have to do that. You know one of the things I love about Pastor Steve? Pastor Steve looks to people's hearts. And I can tell you that. Let me tell you, I feel like I'm partly the evidence for how Pastor Steve looks at people. Because, you know, I was in a country church with about 400 people in it. And churches that are this size don't go to country churches with 400 people in it and look for a pastor to come. But you see, when Pastor Steve saw me, he saw beyond the muscle and the intellect, the quick wit. He saw beyond all of that. He saw beyond my circumstance, and he saw my heart. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like a lot of my life, people haven't looked at my heart. And people have even commented on the outward appearance of the situation, the outward appearance of who I am. And people have made judgments based on that. And I promise you, many of you here today, you feel like that's where you're at. And you so desperately want somebody to look past all of that and to look to your heart. And that's what this story is about. So we can't make excuses. Well, God, nobody looked at my heart, so I'm not going to look at anybody else's heart. We can't do that as followers of Jesus. We have to look to the heart. And he speaks this incredible word to Samuel. And Samuel finally asks, and I'm closing with this if you guys want to come. Samuel finally asks, do you have any other sons? There's a mistake. Something's wrong because it's none of these guys sitting here. And Jesse, I can kind of see him saying, well, no, this is, well, I mean, there's David. And he's saying, where's David? And he said, he's tending the sheep. And I imagine Jesse's in somewhat of disbelief, like, hey, look at these guys again. And the prophet says, we're not going to rest till David gets here. And listen to this. So David gets there, and immediately Samuel says, this is the one. You know what struck me about this? What did I tell you that Samuel did with Jesse and his sons? He consecrated them. Isn't that what the Bible said? He consecrated them. Isn't it interesting that when David came, he didn't consecrate David? David came and he was unconsecrated. He had not been set apart by the prophet. But you know what the good news is? He'd already been set apart by God. He'd already been set apart by God. Now here's the good news. Here's where this story is so hopeful for me and you. Because maybe somebody else didn't set you apart. Maybe somebody else didn't consecrate you. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter. Because God has. God has set you apart. And you know what my favorite part of this David story is this. When other people see a shepherd boy, God sees a king. That is so hopeful for me and you, because no matter what other people see when they look at me, I know what God sees. And no matter what other people see when they look at you, I know what God sees, because He sees through all that stuff. And it doesn't matter if man consecrates you. All that matters is that God has set you apart. And this is the hope of the David story for you and for me. That your life has meaning and purpose to God. Your life matters to God. And I would plead with you tonight to trust Him with your life. Oh, He's worthy. He is worthy. And He can do more with your life than you ever could even possibly think up. He'll do more with your life. He'll take you to more places. You'll meet more people. And He'll do more incredible stuff in your life if you give Him your life. If you will really, really tonight trust Him. So some of you here and you're believers. And maybe the assessment you made of your life tonight is this: I know that I haven't been faithful. Well, aren't you glad there's repentance? Aren't you glad? I don't know. Maybe Saul could have repented. I don't know. All I know is that any chance he had to repent, he just made excuses. Any moment that Saul had to say, God, forgive me, he just said, but it was the soldiers. The people were putting pressure on me. God, every time I try to do the right thing, this happens or this happens. But he never just said, God, forgive me. Don't make excuses tonight. Let me tell you why not to make an excuse. Because this day you have, because God gave it to you. And if you have tomorrow, it's because God will give it to you. And He won't give you tomorrow just for another day of your personal pleasure. He'll give you tomorrow because He's the glory of your life. And He desires to be known among all peoples. So maybe tonight you feel like, you know, I haven't been faithful. Come to this altar tonight and admit that unfaithfulness. Repent from that unfaithfulness. Some of you here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while and you've been hearing about it. Let me tell you, you will miss the great purpose of your life if you never know Jesus. And that's the good news. But tonight, you don't have to worry about that, and you don't have to worry about hell and eternity if you give Him your life tonight. And there's no place you've been and no thing you've done that He wouldn't forgive you for. And that He wouldn't be willing to come into your life. So we're going to have a time of altar. I want to plead with you to come to the altar tonight. Because one thing will matter from this life that God's given you. And that is that you have been faithful with what God's given you. That you've been faithful with the life God has given you. Let's stand together. The altar is open. Father, we love You. We thank You for who You are. And we thank You that everything we have is from You. May we be faithful with it. And I thank You that when everybody sees everything they see in me, that's not what You see, God. And I thank You that when others see shepherd boys, You see kings. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. This altar is open, church. You come.